World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm paddling hard this morning, folks. Got to be honest with you, paddling hard. You know, you look at a duck out on the lake, out on the pond, it looks like he's just floating. If you get under the water, he's paddling hard. I'm paddling hard this morning. I get the opportunity today. I go to I go to Worthington Kilbourne High School to speak to four groups of seniors today. To tell them the truth, I really look forward to it. Very stimulating, but it's very draining. So it'll be 4 hours in front of probably 150 seniors at Worthington Kilbourne High School. And it's a great opportunity, but it's taxing to say the least. I'm going to try to do something today I've never done when I go in there. I'm going to try to take a survey on how many kids in that class go to church regularly. I'll try to report that to you tomorrow. We're in a lot of ways, we're in a post-Christian culture, and some of the stuff we're going to talk about today is going to get to that. So if you would, throw a prayer up for me today that I don't wear out. I'm able to get through, and I'm able to open their hearts and open their minds to the truth. Talk a little bit about Charlie Kirk and the movement that's going on with young people and try to encourage them to be stronger in their faith. How can they be stronger in their faith when the models, the role models, those of us who are their parents and educators, we've so dropped the ball. So, just a fair warning up front, very little after show. I got to get in my car and I got to drive about 50 minutes. So I'll try to start a fire and then let you guys fight it out when I leave. Before I do, got to get this up there real quick. And let me get my, I get more glasses. I buy these dollar store glasses. So this one, I can't even hardly see out of it anymore. Let's see. Pull up real quickly. It says schedule. Pull that up real quickly, Spence. This is the event that David Hebner, the last evangelist, is having this weekend in Dayton, Ohio. The schedule. I'm going to post it if you can. Put that in the chat. For those of you, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have full grasp of what this event is, but I'm going to go support it. Craig's coming out. I'm going to go support what David Hebner is doing down there in Dayton. God bless David Hebner. And if you want to be part of it, this is the schedule. It's Friday night and most of the day on Saturday. And maybe even if you can't go, buy a ticket, man. Buy a ticket. And just support what it is that David's trying to do, because he's a real warrior trying to infiltrate Hollywood, Hollywood, everything that's going on. Last evangelist, yada, yada, yada. So that's this weekend down in the Dayton area. Okay, so Spencer, did you throw that in? Yeah, Spencer put it there in the chat. Again, okay, folks, listen. It happens all the time. Coach Dave gives text. I'm not making fun. Coach Dave, how do I get those links that you show on your show? Okay, here we go. I don't know where you're watching, Coach Dave, right? I don't know where you're watching. Could be on Facebook, could be on Twitter, could be on Twitter, could be on Twitter. I don't know where you're watching it. But if you would like to have the links, when we make a presentation and you said, man, that was really good, I would like to share that link with my friends. They are all at CoachDaveLive.com. So what you would do is you would go to today's show. When the show's over, go to today's show and post it at the bottom will be every link I used. So you can see there at Coach Dave Live, there they are. There's all of them. So you click on one of them, and at the bottom of it, scroll down, there are all, what is that, Spencer? What'd you just click on, brother? You clicked on show notes. So every link I use will be there. Because I get people email. I don't mind it. Don't get me wrong. People email me and say, Coach, could you send me that? I'd be glad to send it to you. But they're right there. Coach Dave Live. And I'm going to encourage you to do this again. If this shows a blessing to you, try to encourage others too. Or maybe even just send them a clip, because we're doing some good stuff there. Okay, cool. I have an urgency today because I got to get everything in, and then I got to move on. Let me pause here. I just heard the Holy Spirit. Somebody has something important they need to say. I'm just going. If that's you, I'm going to open it up right now, and come on. Whether it be an announcement, whatever it be, I'm going to give you the floor right now. Speak now or forever hold your peace, as they say. Now I'm going to pause for a second because there's a little bit of delay some places for someone. If it's not, then I'm going to dive in and I'm going to move ahead. Right?
Hey, Coach. Ohio Brett here.
Hey, Brett. I was going to call you yesterday, by the way. I just got caught up in the wash. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, I just want to encourage the entire team that we have a great head coach. We're all on his coaching tree. Be aware. I got pulled over with law enforcement. They use that tracking technology, the license, the LPR, and make sure you put your hands up so everybody can see it. In 15 seconds, all I said was, "Hello, officer, what's the emergency? How can I help?" And he said, "You have a suspended license." And I said, "Well, sir, what was the traffic violation that I did that caused you to run my plates?" And he freaked out. And he was coming to open that car. And thank God I had legal counsel. I was actually on a call. And he said, "Stay on. Let me stay on." I said, "Sir, I have Eric on the phone. Eric, are you there?" "Yes, I am." And he stopped. And the demonic wickedness left him immediately. Friends, it's a spiritual battle, not a political fight. Support Coach Dave. Share this show. That's all I feel led to share.
So you mean to tell me you were on the phone with an attorney when the cop pulled you over?
I didn't have my phone up. I was in hands-free, and they have LPR technology, license plate recognition.
So they drive by and look for crooks.
No, they just stand there, and they scan every license plate. Evidently, I'm going to find out today. It's probably tolls, you know, because I'm driving all over. If I owe tolls, they suspend my license, which I didn't know. I just got a new one after the last year's Hula Bowl. But friends, yes, it's on me because I had tolls I needed to pay. So he pulled me over
because you
suspended license. He got aggressive in less than 30 seconds. He was reaching for my door and said, "Sir, I'm on the phone with legal counsel to protect you and to protect me to witness this." And he stopped.
Wow.
He said, "I will arrest you. I will compound this car, and you're going to be in jail in less than 30 seconds. Friends,
an expired license.
Yep.
But they can
suspended license.
Yep. Unbelievable, Brett.
But my whole message is, yes, I should have paid my tolls. But that's another thing. Taxation theft. I can't stand paying tolls.
You got to pay tolls for roads you already paid to build. I get it.
But here's what our audience and you, Coach, I have, when I see law enforcement now, I see them tasing people or shooting people if you don't have a mask. I see them tying people down and forcing poison vaccines into people. What they did to Paul Gosline, that officer had no idea all those things are going through my mind. I had no idea what he's living through, but he got aggressive in less than 30 seconds. He was going to attempt to rip me out of my car.
Just because your license has been violated.
Suspended. Right? Yes. Suspended. Because he has technology in his car. He's sitting there eating donuts. And all of a sudden, ding, 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 ding. All these cars are going by and they're scanning the technology.
Jeff, that Brett, they're just protecting and serving. That's all they're doing.
Well, you know, because this is one of the only places to go for real truth out there. The mainstream media is not doing it. We are already in a police state. How quick will they use that technology that I'm tracked and suspended because I won't wear a mask or I won't get a shot?
So Brett, you're telling me that if I have an unpaid toll, which I might have, I don't know, I might have, they can suspend my license and pull me over and maybe take me to jail. Is that what you're telling me, Brett?
Correct. No, it could escalate. No, they stop you and they say, license and registration, please. Because I didn't immediately jump, I said, sir, hello, sir, what's the emergency and how can I help? And then he said, again, license and registration. And I said, sir, what did I get pulled over for? He goes, suspended license. I said, sir, what was the traffic violation I committed that allowed you to run my plates? He hated that I asked questions.
Yeah.
And it's on me. If it's the tolls, but I'm going to find out today and then I'll go pay him. But I was this close to getting ripped out of a car, thrown in jail because of, I don't consent to that technology being used on my car.
Spying.
This show's not about me. I just wanted to share that. I love
Brett,
you, coach, and I love the team.
Hey, Brett, what state were you in?
Florida.
Florida.
My license is in Florida now. So, yeah, so that's my home state. But this show's not about me. This show is about your team. This show is about Team Jesus. I have a great head coach, and we have lots of players on this team. I want to encourage today, but share with your children, share with your friends. If I didn't have my hands on that, he could have shot me if I reached for my wallet in the back of my pocket.
Amen. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Look, folks, there ain't none of us watching here that don't want law and order, right? None of us. But we've certainly seen, going back through J6, all that stuff, folks, that wasn't law and order. That wasn't justice. That stuff's all coming out. And where did they get, where, really, come on now, right to privacy. Where did the government get the right to spy on you by running your plates? You say, well, coach, that's not private. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. They make me put that plate on. They make me publicly identify myself with that plate. And then they sit along the road and they scan your plates as you drive by. Tell me that's not going on. That's what it was, though, right, Brett?
That's what it was. And I asked them, my legal counsel said, ask him if he's using FPR technology or LPR, license plate recognition. He goes, I don't have to answer that. And I'm a fiery guy, but I was thankful that God protected me. I was calm. My blood pressure didn't go up. I had my hands on, both of my hands were on 12 o'clock. And I said, sir, I have my legal counsel on just to protect you and to protect me and to witness this stop.
Brett, they couldn't find the J6 bomber for how long? 4 years? And been able to find it? Didn't have any technology to find that J6. Folks, it's unbelievable. I'm going to get into some good stuff. Well, Brett, we're in your corner, man. unbelievable. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because somewhere along the line, it went from justice of the peace to law enforcement. And now, make no mistake about it, it's about money. It's about money. And you can take this however you want to. I want to know what kind of man can sign up to be a police officer and then make a career out of going out and pulling over people and giving them $150 fines for driving too fast. I love the men in the blue. When did they become law enforcement rather than justices of the peace? That'd be a good question for you, wouldn't it, Paul? Wouldn't be if they would just been justices of the peace rather than law enforcement, even though it probably wasn't even a law. It's all around us, friends. It's all around us. Bless you, Brett. We're in your corner, man. We're in your corner. Well, I got some good stuff to get to. This all ties together in the Holy Spirit something, because I'm going to show you some stuff here in a minute. Proverbs 18. Come on in, Adam.
Hey, Coach. I'm just going to be super quick. I just wanted to share with you a blessing for me. Dr. Chuck Baldwin has recognized my podcast and my home church as being connected to and a part of Liberty Fellowship in Montana. So I'm praising God for him putting people like you and Dr. Chuck and Randy and all the good men of God that he's put in my life. So I just want to give you that encouragement, Coach.
Thanks, Adam. Adam, is your church receptive to it?
What's that, Coach?
Is your church receptive? I mean, is your church proud of you or ashamed of you?
Well, we have a home church. I actually.
Oh, okay. That's different. Okay. That's different. That's different. Amen. Well, God bless you, Adam. God bless you. Alan Zeifer. Come on in, Alan.
Coach, real quick. We bought a used truck 2 years ago with Dooley, and we were working the Strawberry Festival down here in Plant City, which is a big deal. We're leaving there, me and Tammy, and we're leaving there by 11 at night, and this trooper pulls in behind me, pulls me right over, says, sir, you know, I said, why you pulled me over, sir? And he was nice. He didn't give me no junk like Brett got. But he said, sir, he says, you got a suspended driver's license. I said, a suspended driver's license? I said, I ain't even had a ticket since 2007. And I said, I've been law enforcement and everything else. I ain't got no kind of suspended license. Well, he could have took me to jail, Coach, because of that, yep. But he didn't. Me and Tammy's on the same insurance policy, so he lets me out. I get in the passenger seat. Tammy's driving. And so what it was, Coach, my stupid Farm Bureau insurance did not put the stupid thing on record like they're supposed to. I've been with them for 30-some years. And so plus I had a AAA insurance because I was switching from Farm Bureau to AAA. So I had that truck double covered. And I could have lost my license, went to jail and everything else because of my insurance. And I'm in Florida, too, because of my insurance company didn't record my new truck.
Mm.
I'd have sued everybody. They'd have took me to jail.
By the way, did you guys notice that one of the things that's going on, not to change subject because it runs together, Donald Trump is trying to break the insurance companies, all that. He wants the money to go directly to the person so they can pay their own bill rather than giving it to the insurance company who makes millions and millions and millions of dollars off of it. He wants to pull down that facade as well. You wreck your car, they send you the money. You get every bit of that money to you, and then you decide what you want to do with it. And big changes, a lot of crazy stuff going on, folks. Huh? Okay, hang on. Those people in D.C., they ain't on your side. Come on in, Craig.
Well, don't worry about the tags. Worry about facial recognition because just go to Lowe's. It's there. All it needs.
Facial recognition, is that what you said, Craig?
Yes, sir. Facial recognition. And they have them as soon as they walk in your door. Any camera will pull you out just like that J6 bomber. They're looking at the way that they walked. Okay, so all these are biomarkers, and they don't even need that. You can talk to Mark Trump, he'll tell you. So the system's in place to lock you out. It's there. They just haven't pulled the key. But, you know, one thing, for Brett and all those, which I would ask, what's the duty of the state to notify you that your license is suspended? I mean, they don't have your address. They can't make a letter in the mail. I mean, if you've been driving on a suspended license for 6 months and they haven't notified you, I push that back on them to a certain degree.
So, Craig, let me ask this, because you're familiar with the cops. Is it true, like, if I have a suspended, I didn't pay a toll, let's say, I didn't pay a toll, and I'm driving down the West Virginia Turnpike, I'm heading down to North Carolina, and they pull me over, and they run something, says, you haven't paid a toll. Can they take my car and lock me up for that, Craig?
Well, I think they can probably, if they can, by their own laws, I think they could suspend you if they have an agreement with that state. You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of these states are looking for money now, right? So what they're trying to do is they say, well, we'll scratch your back if you scratch ours. You know, somebody, okay. And that's how they're doing. I mean, hey, I went out, Dave and I, we went to D.C. I have $250 of tickets of going 35 miles an hour or 40 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone because it was a construction zone. And I didn't even see any construction material. I don't even remember seeing a construction sign. Wow. You know, that's how they roll. That's just.
And you're guilty till proven innocent, right? You're guilty till proven innocent.
Yeah.
Really? It is what it is. It is. We need the cops. God bless the cops. But come on, really? Folks, really? What was it Trent just said in here? I'm trying to free you, Trent. They have the power, but they don't have the authority, folks. They got the power. But they don't have the authority. I'm glad we ran down this trail, but that wasn't where I intended to go this morning. Well,
just one more thing. This is where we're at, Coach. And this is where we need to, you know, get our minds at. Where are we at? Go listen to the number one AI generated country song. In other words, this is an artificial intelligence country song, which actually is better than all this other crappy country songs that they have out now. And it's the number one Billboard chart. Artificial intelligence, number one country song.
Wow. Glenn.
Yeah, you know, I can understand what's happened to Brett. You know, last year, you know, my wife's relatives live in New Jersey and Connecticut, so I drove the width of Pennsylvania, all over New Jersey, through through part of New York into Connecticut and back. And there's all these tolls for different segments. New Jersey, you know, they have that automatic pass, but if you don't live in New Jersey, you have to pay cash. It's very yep. easy to miss the cash toll, okay?
Right.
And then
right.
they bill you. I must have got 6 different bills from different segments from New Jersey when I got home, and then each one has like a surcharge so yes. on top of the bill.
Yep.
And it's very yep. easy to miss a payment, you know. And, you know, just traveling over a bridge in New York, you know, to get to, you know, from one state to another, there's a bridge toll. So I got all these bills from toll bills from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. It's very
crime.
Easy to miss a bill, and then yep. they can suspend your license.
Yep.
It's like crime. Minority Reports become a reality.
Amen. Because that goes back to what I said. I wrote a commentary 10 years ago called Policing the Law Abiding. They don't go after the crooks, folks. They go after people who's driving too fast, who aren't paying the because they can make us, we're good people. They can make us stay in line. They can't control the crooks. They don't even try to control the crooks. They just try to make sure that those of us who are law abiding remain law abiding. That's really what's going on. Hey, this is a hot topic. Let's stay on it. Come on in, Wes.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Can anyone give me a logical answer to why we pay tolls for roads that we built and paid for?
They tell you you have to. That's why. That's it. We already paid for every time, folks. Every time you go get a gallon of gas, you're paying tax for the roads, and then they make you drive. Then they make you pay to drive on them, and then give you a ticket when you drive too fast. I think they call that a trap, don't they? In fact, don't they call those speed traps, speed traps. I think so. Good question. Jack, on in, then Mel.
Okay, so my question is, how can they force you to pay a toll through a bank? You're being forced to contract. You drive down this road, and all of a sudden, it's a toll road. You didn't even know it. It's just a blooming road, highway, and you're traveling through states or country or cities that you're not familiar with, and you have to take this road to get there, and all of a sudden you get a bill in the mail which says, if you don't have a bank, we're going to take your license. Wait a minute.
That's right.
How did we come down this road? If you want my money, you got to have a place in this front of this thing for me to hand you some money to pay up, drive on your road. Okay, I get that. I don't agree with it, but I get it.
Jack, then they get you a $10 toll and a $20 administration fee. So your $10 toll becomes $30. So I've gotten some of those. You guys don't want to talk about it. This is good. Mel, come on in.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been my understanding that those toll roads are kind of public-private partnerships, and they're money-making ventures, either for a corporation or for a municipality. So,
that's right.
But I don't know. Some of you might be new to Coach Dave, but a few years ago, I was pulled over. I was doing nothing wrong, driving slowly through a little town in West Ohio. And, you know, they informed me that my license was expired, or my driver's license was expired. Now, I made the mistake of giving them my, you know, driver's license. And, you know, I complied when they pulled me over. But then, yeah, they wanted me to get out of my car. They were going to take my vehicle. They were going to take me back to the police station. So I didn't comply. And so I found myself surrounded by, I don't know, 8 different police vehicles. I ended up getting, they ended up breaking my car window. Well, I locked myself in the car for one thing, but we know probably that was, you know, I don't know. But anyway, they ended up breaking into my car. They tased me because it was Friday. They put me in jail over the weekend because they couldn't get any kind of a ruling on it until Monday. So, but anyway, as Brett was telling his story, I just thought how much better he handled it. But thank goodness he had somebody on his phone, too, to be a witness. Oh. You know what I mean? So,
and we're the good guys, right? We're for law enforcement. We support those guys. We want that, right?
Right. So
Go ahead.
This is all really very real. And I tell you what, God used that that weekend in jail for me. I mean, for his glory. I mean, it was a mission opportunity. By the end, there were women in that cell block that were asking me to pray for them. And I just, it was so different than what I expected. And just so many of the people there are there.
Just broken people.
Broken people. And also people that have no other choices. Like I was able to pay my bond and get out of there. But I mean, there are some people that don't have two nickels to rub together. And so, I mean, they're stuck there.
So, Mel, what did they charge you with, Mel? What were the charges?
Trying to remember now. It was, well, you know, it would be
initially, it
was driving without a driver's license, but then I did some research. They let another person go, like, you know, for the same thing. So, I mean, if I would have fought it, you know, but it was, so I ended up taking the plea deal and, you know, they do their deal where they drop the charge, you know, they have you, you know, say that you're guilty to a small thing. And so, I felt just dirty afterwards. Like, I'm just like, ugh, you know, but I just made the decision that, you know, my time would be better spent working on the Liberty Action Network. I mean, I could have tied myself up into a court case that could have taken who knows how long, but I, you know, I ended up, but it was just, it was nasty. So, but it's real. What Brett described is exactly, it's very similar to my situation. And I just thank God for Brett, that he was able to, you know, have that good counsel with him on the phone and to get out of it. Or his situation could have been very similar to mine.
That was a God moment, wasn't it? You got your lawyer on the phone when they pull you over. Oh my goodness. Thanks, Mel. Wow. Ray, come on in, then Neil.
Yeah. Back to Ohio, Brett's with the LPR reader plate. You have a concealed weapons permit. That's on your license. They have that information. I heard of one guy driving from state to state that had a concealed weapons permit, legit from the state he lived in. But when he drove through Maryland, I think it was Maryland, they read his plate. They knew he had a concealed weapon. So the cop said, oh, this guy has a gun. I'm going to pull him over and see if he's got a gun, because he's not allowed to have a gun in our state. And,
the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Second Amendment. We ignored. Sorry, Ray. Neil.
Let this discussion be a lesson to us. I don't want to pull on the rope the wrong way, but I know we're all busy. We all got things to do, but we need to stop and take a few seconds to think before we walk out the door. Do we have all this? I know, like, when we go to a gas station, keep your eyes open, all this stuff, but, you know, pay attention. Look at your tag on your car. Do I got the correct sticker on there? Just take a little time. I know even myself driving a semi on the road, I avoid scales just because I don't want to have to give them the opportunity to do something. So that's just, this discussion is a good lesson on we should take a little time and think before we go. Thanks, Coach.
So, thank you, Neil. Folks, I hate to tell you this. The law enforcement, they're not your friends. They're not your, I'm sorry. I know some good cops. Don't get me wrong. They're not your friends. The system is not your friend, and they work for the system. They are law enforcement. It's amazing, because what I'm going to get here lines right up with this stuff. Dr. Paul, come in.
Just so you guys are aware, a lot of these attorneys and judges have stock in jails and prisons. And keep that in mind. They just don't care about it. And also keep in mind, you don't have to be driving. You could just be walking down the road and it can demand to see your papers. This is Stasi land. They'll get your papers. And if you don't give it, they will say, oh, you're drinking, or we feel like you're on drugs, or
You were weaving.
Yeah, but you don't have to drive. You can just be anywhere, Coach. I mean, I'm serious. It's getting out of hand.
Yeah, it is getting out of hand. By the way, real quickly here, Pastor Tom Gill requests some prayer today. Just know that it's a physical issue, and he's also dealing with some. Tom's always, he just needs your prayer for his family, for him. He has a legal issue he's dealing with regarding this exact kind of stuff that we're talking about. And I know he feels swamped today. So, Lord, nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. Tom and Nicole's life and their family, that you would honor this righteous man, Lord Jesus. Cover him. Cover him. Go before him. Go behind him. that justice might roll down like a mighty river. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Coach.
Yes, yes, sir. Okay, so let me jump into some stuff here. I made a couple notes to myself today. Understand this. Thanks, Beth. Beth says, great topic. It is. I just stumbled on it, by the way. We have to understand that the most of our elected officials, they're not in there to serve us. They're not in there to serve us. They're in there for the benefits of whether it be power, whether it be money, whether it be whatever. Our government is not our friend. It's supposed to be, but it's not. It's supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's what it's supposed to be, but it isn't. It isn't. Get elected officials who are in there for 60 years, make it a career to be in there, right? And they're all part of the system, and they get financing from, you all understand what's going on, right? That's what's going on. And then what happens? Then all the guys who are in government are what we call political appointees. Looking at me? Political appointees. And then they're entrenched in government. You can't fire them, can't get rid of them. We end up with this monstrosity, whether we want to call it the deep state or whatever. Some of it's not just the deep state. Some of it is just selfish men who are part of a system. So that's really what a lot of it. Can you imagine how many lazy, I'm going to swear a minute. Can you imagine how many lazy ass people are working for the government? Can you guys have any idea? Huh? Any idea? So that's what's happened to us, because government, at the end of the day, government is bondage. Government is bondage. That's why where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. See, we don't have godly government, because if we had godly government, we would have liberty. Instead, we have tyranny. And so what happens is these unrighteous men get in positions of authority, and they appoint their buddies to positions of authority in your local towns, in your local counties. And so therefore, the long arm of government ends up at your door, so that when you're driving down the road, some guy's able to do something to your license plate and pulls you over. Folks, that's not the American way. Hey, somebody help me. Somebody help me. Isn't there one of those constitutional amendments against unreasonable searches and seizures? Would anybody think driving down the road and somebody checking out your private business, would anybody think that's an unreasonable search, isn't it? Now, I'm going to take you someplace else here today, because this is really important. I want to do this really, really quickly, but I think it's important. We are at a crucible. Spencer, pull that word up there today. Crucible. I'm just telling you right now, we're at a crucible. We're at a crucible. Can I tell you what? Half of the Republicans don't trust Trump. And that's okay. That's okay. We should trust but verify. But half of our team doesn't even like him. And a lot of our team doesn't even like him, because why? What I just told you. They're elected and appointed, and they don't want their apple cart upset either. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, I get you, Coach. I get where you're going from, right? And so whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, he's come in from the outside, and he's upsetting the apple cart, and neither side likes it. Come on, folks. The Republican leadership hates Donald Trump. You know that, don't you? They hate him. So we're at a crucible, which Spencer looked this up for me earlier this morning, a place or situation in which concentrated forces interact to cause or influence change or development. That's where we are today. Right now, we're in the crucible. And if we don't win now, we're never going to win. And the problem that we have is those who are fighting our fight for us don't want us to win. Somebody give me a thumbs up, say amen. They are protecting the system through which they're getting rich or have a job or a pension or whatever. And I hate to tell you this, most of them couldn't give a damn about you and me. Not really. Not really. That's what we're dealing with. How else can you explain? Okay, so bear with me. We're talking about a filibuster. You guys know that? You know they're talking about a filibuster? Did you know that? And people were saying, oh, that's bad. Shouldn't have the filibuster, yada, yada, yada. And President Trump said, well, if we don't do something about the filibuster, the next time the Democrats get in office, they're going to use it. They're going to use it, he said. So let's beat them at the punch and let's overrule the filibuster. So I thought, man, you know what? This might be a good idea, because most people don't understand what the filibuster is. What the filibuster, we just saw, folks, the shutdown of the government we just went through was because of basically a filibuster. Meaning someone through a procedure can, in fact, stop Congress from doing whatever they want to do. So bear with me a second. I want to show you a couple. It's important we understand this, what the hell the filibuster is, because this is part of this crucible. Because if Donald Trump, now this could be dangerous, if Donald Trump ignores the filibuster, which, by the way, is not constitutional. If Donald Trump were to ignore the filibuster, he could do some stuff that's really, really good. But boy, that gives a lot of power to the president. So we got to be careful, right? And the reason it's so dangerous is because we let it get to this point. We let it get to this point where the guys in Washington, D.C. don't represent me and you. They represent those who line their pockets. Paul Gosin, how else can you explain that the FDA, whatever the hell they are, mandate that people have to take vaccine? How did we get to that point, folks? Where did they get that authority to be able to do that? Well, we know that somebody lined their pockets with money, and now they own them, and they don't care what we think. They don't care what the Constitution says. So the filibuster is an idea. So I'm going to show you three really quick videos to explain to you and I what the filibuster is. By the way, the filibuster is unconstitutional. Bring up number four first, real quick one. What is the filibuster? Is that it? Is that number four? No, go to this one. What is a filibuster? This lady just explains to us, by the way, it's a few months old. I'm going to show you something. It's crazy. Go ahead. What's a filibuster? Hang on. Anybody out there know what the filibuster is? Anybody know? Is it in the Constitution? Go ahead, play it.
What actually is the filibuster? The filibuster is a rule in the U.S. Senate that lets senators delay or block a vote on a new bill, which is like a new law. Here's how it works. Senators can talk for as long as they want about a bill. And unless 60 out of 100 senators agree to stop the talking,
freeze it. Takes 60 out of 100 to break the filibuster. The problem is Republicans have how many? 52 votes. They need 8 votes of the Democrats to break the filibuster. It's called cloture. They can't get it. So these people can go ahead. They need 60 votes. Doesn't matter if it's 52 to 48. Doesn't matter. They need 60 votes. Go ahead.
Cloture. The bill can't move forward. Back in the old days, senators would literally stand and talk for hours, sometimes reading recipes or phone books to stall. But now they don't even have to talk. They can just say, I'm going to filibuster, and the bill is stuck unless 60 senators vote to stop it. The filibuster is meant to protect the minority or the party with fewer senators to make sure both sides work together. But some people think it's causing too much gridlock because a very small group can block bills that most senators want to pass. For example, the filibuster has been used to stop laws about civil rights and voting rights and other really big issues. Over time, the Senate has made some exceptions to the filibuster. For example, they can't filibuster when picking judges or other important jobs, and this changed in 2013 and 2017. They can't filibuster budget-related bills. These use a special process called reconciliation. Now, some people want to get rid of the filibuster completely so that the Senate can pass laws more easily. Others want to keep it because they think it forces compromise and protects minority voices. So ultimately, the filibuster is like a big debate tool. It can be useful, but it also causes a lot of arguing about whether it's helping or hurting the country.
Okay, so
I don't think people understand.
They tell us we're in a democracy. We hear that all the time. A democracy, a democracy, a democracy. And what is it? What's a democracy? Majority rule. 51-49 majority rule. So they're going to call us a democracy and then not follow democratic. That's what they do. They bait and switches all the time. Now, here's the danger. And this is what President Trump said, or the other guys in the Senate say, look, if we break the filibuster now, which, by the way, is not constitutional. I'll show you that here in a second. If they do the filibuster and say just majority vote 51-49, a democracy the way it's supposed to, 51-49, all the good stuff. You know, they could get rid of abortion, 51-49. You understand that? Then understand the dangers? Not the dangers. So anyway, Trump wants to do away with the filibuster. Is the filibuster constitutional? Put this at 1.5 speed. Now, folks, don't miss this. Don't miss this. This is Robert Reich. Robert Reich. Now, watch, folks. He's arguing for the filibuster. No. He's arguing against the filibuster for legislation that Democrats want to get through. And he's standing there, he's a lawyer, telling you how wicked the filibuster is for their cause, say, for their cause. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Just a couple minutes of this. Robert Reich telling us how awful the filibuster is. Same group now that's telling us how good the filibuster is. Go ahead.
You've probably been hearing a lot about the filibuster these days, but here's one thing about this old Senate rule you might not know. The filibuster actually violates the Constitution.
Hang on, freeze it. This is a Democrat. He said the filibuster violates the Constitution. Go ahead.
41 Senate Republicans, who represent only 21% of the American population, are blocking the For the People Act, which is supported by 67% of Americans.
Freeze it. Do you understand what he just said? The Republicans were in the minority. And he's mad because only 21% of the Republicans, they're blocking the legislation. He hates the filibuster. Because why? It works against what they're trying to do. Go ahead.
Are blocking the For the People Act, which is supported by 67% of Americans. They're also blocking an increase in the minimum wage to $15 an hour, supported by 62% of Americans. And so much else. Even some so-called moderate Democrats, like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, have outsized power to block crucial legislation thanks to the filibuster. Many of those who defend the filibuster consider themselves originalists, who claim to be following the Constitution as the framers intended. But the filibuster is not in the Constitution. In fact, the framers of the Constitution went to great lengths to ensure that a minority of senators could not thwart the wishes of the majority. After all, a major reason they called the Constitutional Convention was that the Articles of Confederation, the precursor to the Constitution, required a supermajority vote of 9 of the 13 states, making the government weak and ineffective. James Madison argued against any supermajority requirement, writing that the fundamental principle of...
Folks, this is a Democrat, a powerful Democrat, arguing for the filibuster. And now that Trump is president, they're not for the filibuster. You understand what's going on here? Keep going.
Free government would be reversed, and it would be no longer the majority that would rule. The power would be transferred to the minority. Alexander Hamilton, meanwhile, warned about how much good may be prevented and how much ill may be produced if a minority in either House of Congress had the power of hindering the doing what may be necessary. Hence, the framers required no more than a simple majority vote in both houses of Congress to pass legislation. They carved out specific exceptions requiring a supermajority vote, only for rare high-stakes decisions. Impeachments, expulsion of members, overriding a presidential veto, ratification of treaties, and constitutional amendments. By being explicit about these exceptions where a supermajority is necessary, the framers underscored their commitment to majority rule for the normal business of the nation. They would
okay, you can stop right there. That's all. We can move on. So what do we know? Put it in the chat. Forever and ever, Congress was majority rule. 51-49. Sorry, Charlie. That's the way the game's played. You don't have the votes. Now, here's what we have to be concerned about is as soon as there will be a Democratic president, which there will be, and a Democratic Congress, they will blow up the filibuster. Oh, yeah. And they'll legalize all types of demonic folks. So here's where we are. Okay, let me give you another one. This is a short one. Pull up number three, Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller, you guys know who he is. He's the president's advisor, whatever that means. Going down, I want you to play this. Now, hang on. Friends. Your Republican friends are bought and paid for. If you can't understand that, I don't know what to tell you. The Republicans will not vote for certain things because they're being financed by whoever that's against that. So here's Stephen Miller. He's pretty good guy, pretty good. And here's what he tells us about reopening the government, which, by the way, is not reopened. Go ahead.
Well, yes, he is, of course, because when Democrats take power, if and when that happens, when they control at some point in the future, whenever that is, the House, the Senate, and the White House, what's the first thing they're going to do, Larry? They've advertised it, they've promoted it, they've talked about it, and they've booted two people, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, out of the party for disagreeing with them on it, and that is ending the filibuster. They will end the filibuster, they will pass communist health care, they will abolish private health insurance, they will kick 140 million Americans off of their employer-sponsored health care plans. They will give citizenship and amnesty to every single illegal alien in the country, and millions more to come. They will pack the Supreme Court with four or five Marxist judges. They will make D.C. and Puerto Rico a state, and that'll be just the beginning of what they do to cement and solidify permanent political power in this country. We all know that's coming. We all understand that's coming. And the best chance that we have to prevent that is to end the filibuster now so that we can pass the full and complete Republican agenda, make it permanent, and deliver secure elections to this country in the form of voter ID and ending once and for all non-citizen voting by requiring proof of citizenship to vote. These are basic fundamental things to having a democracy. But you asked earlier, I need to answer it, what is next for the economic plan for this president? We're focusing relentlessly on affordability.
Okay, hang on. Now, I'm opening up again. Pull up Election Day. Hey, folks, mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots. Would somebody please pull up the Constitution for me? Huh? 2 U.S. Code, number 7, time of election. Constitutional law. The Tuesday next after the first Monday in November in every even-numbered year is established as the day for the election in each of the states and territories of the United States of Representatives and delegates to the Congress commencing on the third day of January next thereafter. Folks, mail-in ballots are unconstitutional. The ballot must be cast on that day according to the Constitution. Good question, Beth Yates. Why aren't sheriffs arresting these people? They're in clear violation of the law. And it's coming more and more clear that the whole election, whether you guys want to believe it or not, the entire election of, 2020 is entirely stalled. I got more videos I can show you. Stuff after stuff after stuff after stuff after stuff. Lies. Bring up Bernie Moreno, number 9. Bernie just got appointed senator here in Ohio because once his name became vice president. So I don't know much about Bernie, but listen to what Bernie has to say in Congress.
Colleagues are in the chamber today, right now.
Unfortunately,
no. So zero, not one single Democrat is in the chamber listening, debating, having a dialogue with you. Question number 2, if you're a union worker in my state, Ohio, do these Biden, Obamacare, COVID-era subsidies lower their health costs?
Absolutely not.
If you're somebody on Medicare, no matter where you are in America, do these COVID-era Biden, Obamacare subsidies lower your deductibles?
Absolutely not.
If you get private insurance through a small business like the one I used to own, do these Biden-era COVID subsidies lower your health care costs?
Does nothing to benefit those people you're describing.
If you're unfortunately somebody who is having a tough time and you're on Medicaid, you're disabled, children, do these Biden-era COVID subsidies lower your deductibles or your out-of-pocket costs?
No.
So none of the people I just mentioned, not union workers, not people on Medicare, not people on Medicaid, not people on private insurance, not unions that negotiated incredible rates. None of them will see lower health care costs. Am I accurate in that?
You're absolutely accurate.
Who stands to gain by the federal government writing a check for $26 billion to do what the Democrats want in order to open the people's government?
Well, insurance companies most directly, and there will be lower.
But just to be clear, the money goes directly to the insurance company, correct?
Direct.
It doesn't go through the pocket of the consumer. So if, for example, I want to go find a doctor that's going to offer treatment for less money because my deductible's too high. This doesn't help me because I'm not getting the money. It's going to go to the insurance company, correct?
Correct.
And Senator, you're so smart on this topic, and you're the chairman of the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. Is that true?
Correct.
Who was the previous chairman?
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. Okay. Bernie Sanders was chairman when, again, just to be clear, for
last Congress.
Which would have been through 2024?
Yeah, he's for 2 years.
And the Biden-era Obamacare subsidies were made extended in 22. Is that correct?
Correct. I think that's right.
To expire in 25.
To expire in 25.
So who voted for the expiration date of 2025?
Not Republicans, rather Democrats.
So just to be clear, the Democrats voted to have these subsidies expire this year, correct?
Correct.
To your knowledge, was there a hearing last year in 2024 in which the Democrats got together and say, whoa, these Biden-era COVID Obamacare subsidies, we set them to expire in 25. We should really make them permanent or extend them. Was there a single hearing in your committee about that topic?
There was not.
So, wait, Democrat colleagues are in the chamber today, right now.
Unfortunately, not.
So zero, not one single Democrat is in the chamber listening, debating, having a dialogue with you. Question number two, if you're a union worker in my state.
Okay, you get it, folks? You get it? Dr. Paul, maybe this is kind of your area of expertise from a medical insurance thing, because they're talking about the Obamacare, which, by the way, was the worst thing that they ever did. It was the worst thing they ever did. Paul, how does reimbursement work for a doctor?
Well, if you're in the system, how it reimbursement works, and that's a really complicated question, Coach. Yeah,
on purpose, right? It's on complicated.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole, you know, whether you're a PPO or whatever, they have all these crazy scenarios, and the reality is you're not going to get good medical care in the system because it's not about health, Coach. How do I explain it to you?
No, I get it.
I mean, for instance, you get a penalty, Coach, when you turn 65 and you don't pay into the system. Okay, and eventually you get sick, you have to go to the hospital. Every year, that penalty doubles. So, I mean, if you get really sick, they just take everything away from you, your house and everything else, Coach.
Unless you're an illegal alien. Unless you're an illegal alien.
God knows what's going on there, Coach. I don't know, but it's a mess. But we're I don't know, Coach. I don't have the answers.
I got you. Look, I'm going to play, folks. I'm going to play something right here. Okay, now I'm going to give you fair warning. I thought about, should I show this? Should I not show this? Five rules to save Congress, and this guy's going to use the F bomb several times. I would hold your ears if it offends you. Okay, but Dr. Paul, listen to this and tell me whether or not, number eight, Spencer, number eight, if this makes sense, okay? Listen, there's going to be swearing, the F-bomb, okay? I'm giving you fair warning. Go ahead.
Here's how I would fix how fucked up the United States Congress is with five simple rules. The first rule obviously being term limits. The people in Congress should be just like the president. They are only allowed to serve 2 terms. Then they can make way for someone else who has something else to say. Rule number two, congressmen and women are paid the median salary of the state they represent. The congressman or woman wants to make more money, they need to take action to raise the median salary of the people in their state. This will immediately guarantee that they understand the people they represent. And I know people are going to say that would be hard to do because they have to go back and forth between Washington and their state. That leads me to rule number three. No more traveling to Washington, and also no overseas travel paid by the taxpayer. Now, how will we accomplish this? Easy. We all know what fucking Zoom is. It is 2024. There is no fucking reason for our representatives to be traveling to Washington. There is no reason they have to meet in the same fucking room. We just install big ass iPads on each chair. and they can talk it out over Zoom. It's fucking insane that we are paying for our representatives to travel all the way across the country just to fucking vote. All we need is big ass iPads, secure push button voting technology, and video conferencing technology. Three things we already have. As for the overseas travel, there is zero fucking reason for a representative from Idaho to have to go to Paris on official business. They are not foreign dignitaries. They are not part of some international peace corps. They are representatives of their state, so they need to stay in their fucking state. Now, if they want to go overseas on vacation, that's fine. They can pay for it themselves. But there's absolutely no fucking reason taxpayers should be footing the bill for representatives or senators to fly overseas. Now, without them traveling all over the place, that's going to free up a lot of time. And that'll lead into rule number four, which is single-issue bills only. Any bill that's submitted to be voted on can only be about one single issue. There is no fucking reason a veterans benefit bill should have anything unrelated to veterans in it. It should be putting up one issue at a time, voting on one issue at a time, and passing or not passing one bill at a time. Want more money for Ukraine? Put up a bill that is just the Ukraine funding. Don't combine it with some bill giving benefits to old people to try to make everyone feel bad and vote yes. If a bill or an issue can't pass on its own merits, then it doesn't need to be passed. And lastly, rule number five. Anytime a member of Congress speaks to the media or the American people, it is automatically assumed that they are under oath and can be charged with perjury for lying to the American people. And if through a jury of their peers, preferably that jury should also be made up of the residents of the state they represent, they will be immediately removed from office. And that's it. Five rules to unfuck Congress.
Boom.
Come on, Jack. That's pretty good, isn't it? Take the dirty words out. That's pretty good stuff right there. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah. Oh, boy. There's so much in there. Number one, term limits will sound good. It's another one of those sweet little things where we can just say it and it sounds good. Term limits will destroy it. The last term of every one of them will be spent passing bills for whoever they're going to work for when they get out. So if we got a good person in there, we want to keep them. If we got bad person in there, get them out. And Steve Miller, I really like the guy, but if you break down that clip that you just played about Steve Miller and break that really down and listen to it very critically, he's endorsing the same things that we were talking about earlier. Total surveillance society for peace and safety. He wants total surveillance. He doesn't really want that in his mind, but that's what they're pushing.
Yeah, so he doesn't understand what's going on, right?
That's right. We got to get organized.
Jack, they are pushing it. Who's they? That's what we got to find out. Who's they? And I understand what you're saying, but I'm for term limits. I'm for term limits. Me, personally, I'm for term limits. 3 minutes left. Anybody else? Sorry for the... Don't email me about the language. Please don't email me. Just go, if you go to a basketball game or a football game, you hear that all the time. Don't act like you got those virgin ears that you can't hear. Alan, come on in.
Coach, about every time Jesus said they, it wasn't nothing but a bunch of devils. And he cast, when he talked about they, most time he cast them out.
That's right. We got some casting out to do, brother. I agree with that. Bless you. Mark Trump, you were up and then you were out. You're back in, Mark? No? Doesn't matter.
Oh, I don't know. I might be under 2 minutes. So I had to say, who are they that's demanding all this police state? They are we.
That's right.
In other words, America wants quicker, faster, more connected. They want autonomy. They want digital ID so that they can automate everything. Okay? So the more connected we are, the less trouble they have, and they can hand over control to the machine. So we as capitalist companies, it's all the people running the companies, Coach, that are competing for latency and analytics and faster things, production. You know, all of that is what's driving the need for identity. And what I'm seeing is that this digital identity that they're forcing, which enables surveillance, is out in front of security. And that's kind of the way I'll leave it right now, but it's going too fast, Coach. And you know what happens there.
Amen. Yeah, amen. So here, I guess here's the bottom line today as I sign off here. your elected officials aren't in control. They're bought and paid for, folks. They're bought and paid for. And if some guy's been in there 20 years, somebody's been controlling for 20 years, and the connections are deep. If somebody's only in there 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, it's hard to get your claws in quite as deep because they're not fighting about being reelected. So therefore, they're more likely to do the right thing. Got to run. Pray for me today with those young kids. Don't try to bring them the truth. See you tomorrow.